Whoever loves me will keep my word, says the Lord, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Be reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I'm going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I, and now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings all instruct us that as a fruit of Jesus' resurrection, you and I enjoy the presence of Christ forever through his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit enlightens us both interiorly and as a community, making possible peace and right relationships. Now, the truth that the Holy Spirit brings, first of all, is a oneness or a unity with the word of Jesus and the Father, as the gospel explains. And remember, this gospel that we're listening to, we've been listening to it at the daily mass and for a couple Sundays, is from the Gospel of John. It's from the Last Supper. And these are essentially Jesus' last words to his disciples before they all flee. Except for John. But in any event, no new gospel can come along under the purported inspiration of the Spirit. So it's because of the Holy Spirit that, among other things, the church will not change its teaching on abortion. Our teaching on the great dignity of the human person made in the image and likeness of God. The church will never change its teaching on marriage between one man and one woman. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that the church will continue to defend religious liberty, to defend our right to give public praise to God our Father through Jesus Christ, and to seek to live our public lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to manifest the gospel wherever we may be. And the Holy Spirit will not ever contradict settled teachings of the church. The Holy Spirit, for example, will not allow us to obey Barack Obama's Pentagon statements of this past week, wherein the Pentagon stated that members of the U.S. military could be prosecuted for sharing their faith. And according to Obama's Pentagon, evidently, well, actually according to Obama himself, if you remember what he did this week and who he praised, evidently it's okay to publicly, for the president to promote certain immoral sexual behaviors, as Obama did this week, but it's not okay for someone who works for the government, for someone in the military, to publicly share the gospel. Christian chaplains, Catholic priests in our U.S. military have been told that they could be judged to be guilty of treason and could be considered enemies of the U.S. Constitution if they share the gospel. And I put at the entrance to the church two different articles on that subject. One of them is from an active duty Rear Admiral, Navy Rear Admiral, who raises the public alarm about the harassment of people of faith in the U.S. military. So this is not something I make up. It's not something that Father Parker makes up. I put out in front a couple articles on that subject. So obviously, back to the Holy Spirit cannot allow us to fail to fight against such wildly absurd and such obvious evil. Jesus says his Spirit will remind us of what he said. And I've said it before, remember the role of the Holy Spirit in us is always to point us towards Jesus Christ. We hardly get to know the Spirit because the Spirit's always trying to draw our attention to Jesus Christ, to remind us of who he is and what he said. And through his Holy Spirit, in other words, it's by the power of the Spirit and in the Spirit that Jesus remains among us as our teacher, both reinforcing that teaching and enabling us to understand the changing circumstances of history in the light of that unchanging teaching. Now, there is no further public revelation expected or necessary before Jesus comes again in glory. And between now and then, it's a matter of you and me pondering, understanding more deeply, applying more faithfully the teaching that Jesus has given to us, and which we know, teaching that we know, certainly the foundational teaching, which we've known for 2,000 years. Now in the gospel, remember, Jesus is giving his final words of counsel to his disciples the evening before his death. Jesus is both our teacher and our consoler, and as he prepares for his own crucifixion, he, in a certain sense, hands over everything he has, everything he is, to the Holy Spirit, because on the cross, the Lord Jesus will simply be the one who suffers in total self-surrender. We could say that Jesus transitions his disciples to an awakening in trust in the Holy Spirit, who will always be for us the one whom the Lord has recommended and with whom there is perfect unity between Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father altogether. Jesus' Holy Spirit will remind us of what he said. Now, these reminders are necessary because you and I, because we're human beings, we can actually be very forgetful. We need reminders. And as we journey through history, we come upon certain periods like today when popular trends can obscure fundamental truths, such as, of course, the truth, the foundational truth for us Catholics, for any Christian disciple, the foundational truth of the sanctity of human life, and the truth, the reality that marriage between one man and one woman is at the foundation, really the linchpin that holds together our civilization. Jesus' Spirit, his Holy Spirit, when we're listening, reminds the faithful in his church of truths that must always be respected. And these reminders give you and me a freedom and an independence from otherwise becoming literally slaves to the dominant influences and fashions of the day in our culture. Now, you and I, if we are to be as human as God made us to be, are required to fortify our minds with the clarity that comes from the Holy Spirit, so that our judgment about what is right and wrong is independent of all the confusion and all the errors that are swirling around us. Jesus says, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our dwelling with him." In other words, our understanding of God and his word will come directly from our love and obedience to him and his word. As I mentioned in my homily last week, I was in Menominee, you and I cannot expect to be able to keep Jesus' foundational commandment to love one another as he has loved us unless we permit the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the life of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all to reside in us. One other point. Notice in the first reading from Acts 15 that we see the Holy Spirit guiding the first generation of Christians, the apostles in all truth, at that first church council, the Council of Jerusalem. And notice how they describe their ruling. It is a decision, it is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. And knowing the truths about the church and the Holy Spirit, our hearts should never be troubled. We could say that the message for the entire Mass for us today is that the church is the Lord's church. It is watched over and guarded by the Consoler, by the Advocate, by the Teacher, by the Holy Spirit, who has been sent to us, to the church, in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son. And this should fill us all with confidence, free us to worship with exaltation, inspire us to rededicate our lives to his name, to love Jesus in our keeping of his word, to rejoice that he and the Father and the Spirit have decided to make their dwelling even in you and in me. Now this evening, Trina is kind enough. Actually, she's going to be with us all weekend, I believe. Trina is kind enough to show us this DVD, which the bishop has asked us to watch on the diocesan stewardship appeal. And a new year of stewardship is about to begin. So turn it over to you.
Very Bishop Aloy's time. My name is Kevin. I'm 25 years old. I attend St. Mary's Lake Online Seminary. I'm here so I can be a priest, and I actually love it. And I'm really here today in 2016. I was going through my life. I enjoyed my friends. I enjoyed hanging out with them. But something felt unsatisfying. There was that moment where I really felt the Lord knocking on my heart and really calling me to something different. And so I started to the Mass form of reconciliation. And it was there that I discovered that the truth of what I was searching for was God in the sacraments, in His own mother church, in confession, not simply in the Eucharist, through His body, blood, soul, and divinity, is where I'm going to find that deep communion and fulfill that longing for Christ that we all seek. I was sitting at a priest, and he said to me, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" And to me, this, I had never thought that question my whole life. Never crossed my mind in any way. And it was that moment that the Lord planted that seed and was knocking at my door. And I kind of stepped back and I said, "Lord, can I answer that call? Can I walk through that door that you've been asking me to step through? Can I go through that gateway and answer your call?" And I said, "Yes," because I found complete and utter joy in knowing that God could use me for the salvation of souls. I went to the website to see how much it would cost me to attend the seminary. I'm thinking, this is college, so how am I going to pay for this? And I went to the website, and under cost, it literally said, "Don't worry about it. All we ask for is your money." And I remember kind of laughing out loud, like, "Oh gosh, that's crazy." Like, okay, I get it. Like, it's a custom. You ask my love, which is a huge commitment. Huge commitment. And I said, "Okay, well, I'll go." So I accepted that call, went to seminary, and I can't even imagine how different my life would be if I had to work a 40-hour-a-week job and try to sincere, and try to pray, and try to minister to people in the community. It would be impossible. The people in Rockford Diocese helped me go to school. If it wasn't for them, I couldn't eat, I couldn't learn, I couldn't do anything. But because of their stewardship, I can give back all my gifts to God and one day work for His church.
Although the appeal focuses on many diocesan ministries and services that benefit the parishes and community at large, the necessity of non-priestly vocations continues to be the most important focus of this appeal.
Catholic education, youth ministry, marriage preparation, outreach support, priestly vocation, these are just some of the areas where Catholics support to diocesan stewardship. Our parishes are truly starting to embrace the idea of sacrificial giving and stewardship. Let me be candid. Each of us must realize that giving God back a portion of the blessings He's given to us is an obligation of faith. Our gifts to the church are one way we can demonstrate that we serve God. We're asking to help this year just as we do everything. Please earnestly consider what you're doing. Whatever you decide, the church will be grateful. Your sacrifice, your parish's commitment, your desire to be God's servant will truly open the doors of faith to those who need it most. Thank you in advance for your generosity. May God bless each of us in this day.